Clearly, the first thing we need to do this morning is to address our discomfort with the parable that the Lord tells in today's gospel. You really don't like that parable very much, do you? That the steward uses, apparently, his master's wealth to feather his own nest, to prepare a good reception for himself when he has to leave the master's service. Well, sometimes when presented with a difficult passage like that, it's helpful to resort to the commentaries, you know, written by people who spend their whole lives studying sacred scripture, the historical background, the context, the particular cultural angles that we might not know. And so it is in this case. There is a very respectable scholarly approach to this parable that makes this observation. This steward in the parable, today's gospel, was not just like the chief employee on the estate. He was, in fact, given the responsibility of running the estate by the owner, who was an absentee landlord, living far away, hardly ever seeing the place. So the steward had great responsibility. He was free to administer this estate as he saw fit, but for that service, he received no salary. His livelihood was to be derived by the administration of his master's wealth. It's a little bit like tax collectors that the Romans installed throughout their empire. Roman tax collectors did not really make sure that you filed your 1040. They were told what the tax revenue was expected to be from their whole province. They were expected to come up with that money. And then they were free to get out of the hides of the people as much as they could to recoup what they had to remit to the Roman treasury. But then also the rest of it was their livelihood. So, a steward in that system was free to lend out his master's goods, and the interest and carrying charges and fees on those loans were the steward's piece of the action. That was where his livelihood came from. When one wrote a promissory note in this system, one did not distinguish, as we do today, between principal and interest, and each payment you make, this is how much of it is principal, this is how much is interest. If you borrowed 80 cores of wheat, you wrote a promissory note for what you had received plus the interest on that loan, effectively the interest, the 20-25% on the loan, 20 cores of wheat that you had to reimburse in addition to what you had received. Apparently, sometimes the rates of interest and the fees on these loans were quite usurious. They were unreasonably extreme, as in the case of the olive oil, you know, 50 measures of olive oil for which you have to repay 100. So, in that understanding, the servant is not using his what belongs to his master to defraud the master out of something that he expects back. The steward is writing off his piece of the action, what was going to come to him for his support, in the hope that those whom he had so favored would receive him happily and give him a good welcome when he was dismissed from the master's service. And it's quite a good parable to instruct the disciples of the Lord, because our situation is that our stewardship of our lives in this world and everything that we have in this world, that stewardship is coming to an end. Not because we've been dishonest, unless you say, well, that's the fall of the whole human race that has made us all somehow dishonest stewards. I suppose you could make that application. But it's not that we've been particularly dishonest, but our time of stewardship is coming to an end. Despite what you may have heard from people who were marching in the climate strike with you on Friday, the ultimate good is not that this planet lasts forever. The divine plan is that the world as we know it and time itself will come to an end on the last day when the Lord returns in glory. The stewardship of the human race and the stewardship of each one of us is coming to an end. It's very likely that our own stewardship will come to an end before the last day when the Lord comes again. As I've said before, I can tell you with great certainty that the world is going to end within the next 35 years for me. And that's giving myself a big benefit of the doubt, as a matter of fact. So our stewardship in this world will not last forever. It's coming to an end. The question is, are we using the goods of the master with which we've been entrusted in a way that will ensure a good reception for ourselves in the life that comes next? It's a very apt parable, really, because we are using the goods of the master of the estate. You know, you might say, well, I have my own little nest egg for which I've worked hard. Well, that's true. We have worked for what we have. But who gave us the strength of body or the wits that we have used to accumulate that portion of goods? It was usually the family into which we were born, the education, the opportunities that we were given, the talents of mind and body that we could not obtain for ourselves. Those were gifts to us. They belong to the Creator, to the Lord. So we have used goods belonging to Him. He gives us a very free rein in the use of those goods. But the question is now, will we use those goods that with which we have been entrusted in a way that assures a good reception in the life that comes next? We don't think about it too much today with the very warm and humid Sunday we're having. But tomorrow is the first day of fall, officially. So the earth is dying once more, at least here in the northern hemisphere. As that happens each year, the church's calendar also reminds us of the end of life and the end of time. You know, the church's year ends around the end of November. The Feast of Christ the King is the last Sunday of the church's year. On that day, we look ahead to the day the Lord comes again, and the world as we know it passes away. But not just on that day, on the Sundays prior, and especially in the whole month of November, the church reminds us of our mortality and of the end of the world that we expect. We begin that month of November with the Feast of All Saints and the commemoration of all souls, all the faithful departed, reminding us that many of those whom we've known and loved in this world have gone before us. We will soon enough pass that way ourselves. The readings for the Sunday Masses during the month of November typically remind us of the same thing. This is kind of the opening note in that song. We're reminded today that our stewardship will last only for a time. So, what are we to do with the time, the energy, the talents, the resources that God has given us while our stewardship lasts? In the first reading today from the prophet Amos, there's a condemnation of those who take advantage of the poor, who cheat them, and who use them without scruple. Certainly is one very constant and important part of the Christian faith, that the acts of mercy by which we do not abuse the poor but come to their help, that is a constant part of the Christian life through all the centuries. The first reading today reminds us that that is a wonderful use for the resources that God gives us in this world to help those who are in need. And in the second reading today, St. Paul says that God wills that everyone be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? That there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That observation from St. Paul reminds us of the spiritual works of mercy. That we are called not only to come to the help of others who are in material need, but also to attend to the spiritual good of our brothers and sisters. Their highest good is that they know the true God and know the truth about Him, about who we are before Him, about what He asks of us, about what is right in His sight, and what is wrong, about what we are to expect when our life in this world comes to an end. So to use our resources not only for the material relief of those who are in need, but also for the proclamation of the gospel, for the spread of the gospel. This is the encouragement that we are given by the readings of today's Mass. There's also in the gospel today a reference to dishonest wealth and true wealth. Again, it's not that the things that we have obtained dishonestly. It's that it's not authentic or true wealth. Why isn't it true wealth? Well, the first problem is, as I have been saying, that it does not last. But there's another problem too. The last line of the gospel, famous line, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve both God and wealth. Well, you might say, I don't serve wealth. Wealth serves me. I know it can't buy happiness, but it can rent it for a while. No, you know, there's an old saying, and it's a true saying. The things that we have own us, not the other way around. There are two great proofs for this. One is storage facilities. When you have stuff, more stuff than you need, you have to rent an apartment for it. You don't own it, it owns you. You must provide a home for that stuff. The other great proof that the things that we have on us is dogs. Now, don't get me wrong, I actually like dogs very much. I've always liked dogs. Since I was a little boy, I liked dogs. But when I see people walking their dogs with their little plastic bag in their hands, I say, who is the master here? What we have owns us. The Lord wants for us a freedom. A freedom to love Him and to serve Him with all our hearts. The Lord wants us to cooperate with His will. We do that by using the things that we have been entrusted for the good of others. Corporal works of mercy, coming to the relief of others in their physical needs, and the spiritual works of mercy, helping them to know the truth. That's the most important thing that we can do for others. So we offer the Eucharist today. We thank the Lord for the trust He has given us in all that we have been given. We ask Him to help us to recognize the relative value of those things and to use them prudently and effectively to prepare for ourselves a reception in the life that is to come next.